Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, I don't know what to talk about.
I do then. Fine. So, okay. Welcome to...
So how should we start?
Well, Giles isn't in a very good mood today, so everyone else has to suffer, because that's the way it works, because it's like living with King Kong.
Oh no, he's eating that food now. I'm worried about the fucking cats.
Well, stop worrying about the cats. It's a waste of time. We'll worry about them later. Cats can look after themselves. Idiot. Hey, morning, Giles. So you look a bit agitated, like you're in a bad mood. Is it because you don't know what to write your column about this week?
but it's not funny.
You're saying I'm not
that
laughing.
With a coy look on your face because you're saying, here we are in a podcast designed to find me something to write about. Because you, my wife, have looked at the papers.
And you are in a bit of a snark because you don't know what to write your column about.
Well, I am, but I'll ever again,
luckily,
though. Ever again. I mean, it's not like today. It's ever again. And also, it's this thing where I do the school run on Wednesday and I come back and you've read the papers and like Monday and Tuesday. It's just, and I try and read them, but I never read them in time. I've had 20 minutes. I haven't quite finished the Daily Mail. And I just
Well, can I just let you know what's in the Daily Mail?
Yeah, what?
It starts with a C and it ends with an A. It's coronavirus.
Oh, I was literally trying to think of something. Yeah. No, it's like, what am I ever going to write? Well, maybe I'll find a column to write about for this week, but nothing's going to change now. There's going to be, it's going to become less and less novel that there's nothing to do and nothing going on. And then like in 2 months' time, what on earth am I going to write about? And also in those notebooks, and also the restaurants are about to close. And the people I'm worried about is the restaurant critics. Yes, there are a million people who work in the hospitality industry who will lose their jobs and not be able to feed themselves. But what about the restaurant critics? And also,
yes,
all my TV work has been cancelled. So I'm worried.
Do you remember, darling, when the biggest story in the papers was that Philip Schofield was gay?
Yes, now...
Do you feel nostalgic for those days?
Those were the days.
Okay.
Shall I tell you another reason I'm in a bad mood?
Why?
I'm going to get a pen, actually. I was going to get a pen because I like having a pen, but I never use it. But you've got one and I'm jealous. Lucy's got a pen. So I want a pen.
That's called reverse penis envy.
What? I mean, what?
Do you know what penis envy actually is?
Penis envy. It's a thing in... It's a Freud thing. Do you?
Yes, I do know what
it is. It's a Freud thing.
Yes.
It's part of the Oedipal thing.
I don't know.
Is it a thing that women have? Tell me what it is.
It's a thing that women have. Is it with women basically are envious of men's penises?
No, it's not. That's it's not. It is not. It's more metaphorical than that.
Is it?
They're not envious of us. There is a thing. It's an actual thing. It's more interesting than just women wish they had cocks.
And spit at people.
I was going to say, this, listeners, is a glimpse of what this podcast is going to have with fuck all in the news.
Okay, fine.
Does my wife want a penis? Yes, but not mine. Can I tell you something, a statistic that I just discovered in the mail, which has made me depressed.
Oh.
I am 7.5 times more likely to die of the coronavirus than you.
Well, you're not that much older than me.
No, but the Daily Mail, has it broken down, has the coronavirus broken down, in an excellent piece by John Naish, who does a lot of the health scare pieces, and John was a sub-editor on the Times when I first worked there.
Oh, right.
And a nice fellow, and a good journalist, and... He used to sub my copy and thought it was a bit shit. And I used to think, well, go be a fucking journalist yourself. And now he's big news at the Mail and has been for like 15 years. But he does a lot of the health stuff. And it's the dossier that horrified UK experts.
Oh, I didn't read that. It was too scary. No, it was too scary.
I see John Nash underneath the thing that says dossier. Because it's like, not a fucking dossier, is it? It's just a feature article. But
yeah.
The Daily Mail's worried that we might not be scared enough.
Yeah.
So it's the dossier that horrified you. It's what made the PM and his advisors change their virus strategy almost overnight. And it's like, it's good stuff. How bad is it? But age peril. It is, and it's got this thing. It's the death rate for, so it's more helpful or sobering to look at how different ages respond to the disease. 1% of people are likely to die. How old are you, my dear?
I'm 39.
You are 39, albeit only for another month and a half.
Yeah.
But still, as you're in your 30s, your death rate is 0.8%. If you get it, you're only 0.08% likely to get it. People in their 50s, how old was I at my last birthday?
50.
I am 0.6, which is more than half of a whole percent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's 7.5 times more likely than you. 0.6 is 7.5 times 0.08. Is that fair?
How much is your life insured for again?
There's the one that ends when I'm 70 is £1 million.
Brilliant.
And then there's one as an open-ended one, which is £500,000.
Cha-ching, better than playing the lottery.
You've got 1.5. Whereas your life is only insured for £500,000.
No, no.
And I can probably squeeze more than that out of you over the remaining years. So for me, it's not really... It's funny, I did insure your life though.
Because my dad told you to.
When people say, you know, is your wife younger than you? And I usually go, well, put it this way, neither of us was born in the 70s, which makes it sound like I'm just like, you're a total child bride. But at the truth
I was very young. Well, actually, no, I wasn't. I was quite a normal age to get married. It's just that you were very
I was just ridiculously old. You were 29, I was 40, and there's that lovely gap. But that gap now puts me the whole bracket over.
Just as I planned.
You planned everything for the coronavirus.
I sure did. Another thing that the correct... Although, I mean, this struck me as just a funny joke. But there was an item in the Daily Mail on Tuesday, page 12, that various television programmes have been halted or suspended in their filming. The Line of Duty was filming and has been... suspended.
What the Line of Duty needs to do, like on the experience of the last series, is they need to film right up to the last episode and then get the coronavirus and not release the last episode because it's always shit.
Well, so this is the you're totally stepping on my joke.
Sorry.
Now, the Line of Duty, they have been filming, but they've suspended filming indefinitely. Peaky Blinders, they haven't started, but now they're not going to. They're going to sort of put it off. And the Graham Norton Show can't find guests. What do all of these shows have in common? They've all been around for quite a long time and they've all been... Actually, I don't know about Graham Norton. Graham Norton's quite good. But they've all been getting... They're already in... Would you say they would have underlying health conditions, all of these shows?
This is what... I see what you're saying. You're saying Line of Duty and Peaky Blinders are two things we watched.
Yeah.
And then we had to stop watching Peaky Blinders.
We had to stop watching Peaky Blinders because every other scene...
I'm going to kill him too. I hate you. You killed my brother. Why has he reappeared in this series then? Because I thought he was killed in the last one.
Let me just put on my velvet cloche hat and my teeny weeny sunglasses.
Oh, Killian, you're so handsome.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never heard anybody with a Burmese accent who was that beautiful.
Every other scene.
Can we just carry on doing this one? Because
every other scene in Peaky Blinders, the most recent series, was of the whole family walking very, very slowly down a street to an incongruous rock soundtrack with things just exploding behind them.
In the first couple of episodes, they were on their way to kill someone. He's going to pay for that. And they'd all go and they'd be sitting off from the burning building. It'd be blowing up in the background and horses' heads would be blowing off. The bombs are going off and they're walking down the street really slowly and they're holding their gun. And previously, they were all heading off like to kill someone. The whole show became about that slow motion walk. They were just going to post a letter.
Mm.
And it's down, down. Nick Cage music playing and the bombs going off. This time they're all going to get a coronavirus test.
Well, exactly. Oh, I mean, they're like, Roy, should we go and have a family meeting then? And they go, yeah. And then they walk down a cobbled street really slowly.
Let's go and have a family meeting. No, I can't come. I'm self-isolating. We've got to kill him before the virus does.
Exactly. If only. That would be it. That would make it quite interesting.
What's he doing in these parts?
Do you write Peaky Blinders on the side?
No, I'm not allowed to. That'd be condescending because I don't really talk like that. Although I think I might going forward.
I don't think Cillian Murphy talks like that either.
I don't think
he does. Helen McCrory. I don't think anybody really talks like that.
I don't think anybody in Birmingham talks like that. I think it's only in that series.
So Peaky Blinders has got I love Peaky Blinders.
More but can I just say, listeners, having listened to my wife's envy about having a penis, you're now hearing more of what this podcast is going to sound like going forwards with no news. Impersonations of people in TV shows.
But that's what it's always been, I'm afraid. That's why we're a lifestyle podcast and not a news podcast.
Which I will just come in there and say, a couple of weeks ago we announced the fact that we were an award-nominated podcast. Yeah. They've postponed the awards.
Yes.
They've postponed the awards.
I think they should do it via Zoom conference so that if we lose, I don't have to get up and punch whoever it is who's won.
Yeah, when whoever's won the podcast stands up, we can just do massive V-signs and bare our arseholes at the screen and stuff.
Exactly.
Remembering you have to put a piece of tape over the camera just in case it accidentally comes on and our bums are like...
To see, check our reactions.
Broadcast what to see. Because if you were all at home, like at the Oscars, if they were all at home watching, like when Brad Pitt won the Oscar, Jack Nicholson going with a big smile on his actually fucking face, throwing things.
Yeah.
Anyway. The problem is the thing about this column is everyone, we're at this stage where it's like a don't make light of it. There's a sort of, you know, I don't want to, whereas my job is to make light of things. I have to make jokes. So it's there's only so many opinions. There's still a few opinions left for the next couple of weeks. We will run out of opinions. There will be nothing.
Like bog roll. And no opinions on the shelves.
Yeah.
And no pasta, no opinions.
It's an emergency. Luckily, Giles Corran stockpiled a load of comedic opinions at birth.
Yeah.
Which are most of them now unsayable. The problem we have is, one, I have to find something funny to write about.
Mm.
And they're really, it's not like with Brexit. Now, Brexit, you could put your mind, or I could, I wasn't some Ramona, you could put it aside and go, look, there's some other stuff in the papers.
Yeah.
This, it infects every aspect of life.
But it is about lateral thinking with these things. And you have been at newspapers when there has been an all-consuming, dominating story in the past, and you've had to work your way around it. For example, so we've just lived through Brexit, but then also 9/11.
Yeah, but 9/11...
Yeah.
9/11,
and you were doing funny stuff during the 9/11.
I was writing the Times diary in 2001, and they suspended the diaries. I came back from a lovely long lunch to discover that the Twin
Those
Towers
the
thing
days.
Had happened, and I'd already filed my copy, and they pulled it that day. And then the editor at the time, I thought rather pompously, "There's no time for humour." He didn't talk like that, unfortunately. And then when it came back, I did an Osama bin Laden limerick competition.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young man called Osama who tried to have sex with the llama, all this kind of stuff, and finding rhymes for Zawahiri, who was then his number two. And we did all, and I did that for two or three days, and the readers got really into it. And then the editor of the Times decided it was no time for humour. These jokes about Osama, they're not suitable humour. It's too soon. It was 3 weeks, and then I did one anyway. And so then, as a result of that, I was fired. But the way
is that when you the one where you came back and you wrote shove your job up your ass on the back of a poster?
No, that was 1995. Oh, right. That was the first time I was fired from the Times.
Right.
If you think this is what journalism is, I wrote in green ink with my fist on the back of a loaded poster. There had been complaints about the loaded poster, funnily enough.
And also complaints about your smoking and standing up and walking around and shouting when you're on the
phone.
There
were three things that had been... Yes, that was in the 90s. That was when I was a younger man. So the three things that I had done... It's amazing to think of people, millennials or Gen Zers, who were not born then, now working in journalism. I may be interested to know that, the first time there used to be complaints about me, and the three things I was calling to the editor about all at the same time were smoking at my desk, which I just did all the time, because it was banned, but not nationally. It's just that the features department had asked people to stop smoking. They had signs, but I smoked anyway. Shouting as I walked around my desk on my phone, because there were no mobile phones, so I just wind the corner, and then having posters of naked women on the wall. And it wasn't even, I didn't even have my own office. I mean, I just sat at a big desk with loads of ladies. Let's not draw attention to that. Anyway, later in my career, no, what happened was they fired me. But then the thing that happened when I carried on making jokes about 9/11 was that he fired me by making me the restaurant critic.
That's when you were sent home.
It was
age 31.
Age 31, I was sent home, and then he brought me in and he said, I wanted about this. And he slid the magazine across, and there was the restaurant column. And he said, would I like to do that? Which in those days was considered a massive demotion.
Yeah.
Because he thought new restaurants weren't very important. And 20 happy years I had, and now they've cancelled restaurants.
Yeah.
And so I'm not a restaurant critic anymore.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
What do you want? He's fucked off about this cat food.
He's a bit sort of agitated. He's not, you're projecting onto him.
Well, I know.
He's not fucked off about the cat food. He's just agitated. Sometimes he is. Leave him alone.
No, Mo, come on, my daughters. Come on, my daughters.
Yes, there we go. He just wants to have a little sit down on shoulders and show everyone his butthole. Anyway, this is irrelevant because how is it going to help you write your column? Okay, right. Look, I have got an idea for you.
Can you take a picture of me with the microphone with the cat so we can put it on Instagram to promote this podcast?
Yep.
Although people have got fuck all else to do, frankly. I'm going to hold a pen so I look like a journalist.
You should be holding a bottle of wine if you want to look like a journalist.
I should be holding my cock if I want to look like a freelancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, Mackenzie.
Okay, I thought you mentioned something the other day that I thought was quite interesting and might make a good column, which is that we might be entering a golden period for home cooking.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said that the other day.
Like the fact that I bought flour. I bought 00 flour to make pasta because I thought you can store more flour than you can store pasta. And we've got water in the tap, so I bought flour for pasta and wholemeal flour for bread. Don't know how to make pasta or bread, but I assume that I will have time in the coming weeks.
I think it's reasonably straightforward. I am also, after this podcast, I'm going to make
my own... Have you ever met a baker? Fucking morons. I mean, that bloke on the Great British Bake Off, the Liverpudlian guy.
Oh, Paul.
Paul Hollywood. If he can bake a fucking cake...
Well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, who can't?
I am going to start making sourdough. I'm going to make my sourdough starter after this podcast is over.
Are you?
And there are... Yeah.
Out of what?
Yogurt and milk and flour.
Oh, can you use that yogurt that I was wearing that the cat licked?
Yes, good. That's what I'm going to do with the yogurt.
The yogurt which you left out overnight because...
I was drunk, leave me alone. I can't do everything.
Sourdough is the perfect thing for you because it's all about leaving things out when there's...
Exactly, making things go basically a bit smelly.
Taking perfectly decent ingredients and waiting until they mould. Which has been your cooking style since I've known you.
Just sort of walk past them every now and again, sort of marvelling at their...
Poke it.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that smell?
Oh,
don't worry,
God.
It's just the sourdough.
Let's see if it's worse tomorrow.
Do you have any plans for this? I will say to you, as I say to every other mouldy thing that I find, yes, fuck off, that's my sourdough starter.
And this is the sound of two people who work together from home. Okay, so, but there are an awful lot of people in the age of Uber Eats, delivery, blah, 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 all that stuff. People really, really can't cook. I mean, there was the phenomenon of, you know, the telly cooks, Nigella and Jamie and all those people. And everyone said, oh, everyone wants to read cookbooks. Everyone wants to watch cooking shows, but no one can cook.
Mm.
That was before there was a ramen joint on every corner and you can get anything you want from Uber Eats and all of that.
Fucking hell, the hipsters are going to die if they don't know how to make ramen. What will they eat?
We're going to see people going to have to learn how to cook, which is, you don't want to do it as a kind of a benefit of the coronavirus, but you could do a piece about store cupboard cooking, like quite a fun piece about store cupboard cooking, no?
So I can make funny recipes, but I've actually had a funny idea around that thing you were talking about, which is actually really funny, and it actually could be a column this week.
The thing that I just said about cooking?
Yeah.
So you're
saying people are going to cook at home, but what people are going to miss is restaurants.
Uh-huh.
It's how to make a restaurant at home.
At home!
So what you do is you choose your food, and then you work into your own kitchen, and your wife says, have you got a reservation? Fuck off! There's nobody here. She gives you the table by the bog.
Do you remember when we went to that restaurant the other day, and one of them said to the other one, walk in, table 22, and gave us the worst table hand.
Yes, Pearl Yang in Paddington.
Empty, empty, empty restaurant.
Pearl Yang in Paddington, one of the best 10 Chinese restaurants in the country, probably. And it's normally rammed and you can't get in and queues out the door. You walk in, the restaurant's completely empty. And we said to the bloke on the front, have you got a table? Go, yes. And then he turned to the manageress and said, we need a table for four. And she said, is it a walk-in? Table 22.
Yeah, and walk-in, table 22.
Work-in, table 22. And I muttered to her, it'll be the shittest table
in
the
house.
It was. It was the table basically in the corridor with one leg on the stairs so that everything slid off. Literally, there's the till, there's the loo. Meanwhile, other people sitting at some really nice tables. Mm. But because we'd walked in, they were so fucking outraged that they weren't full.
Yeah.
That they were punishing us for walking in, basically like all restaurants do, by giving us the shittest table in the house. And one of the pieces of advice that I often give to people, this is not going to be very useful to people on listening to the podcast,
because
the restaurants would all be shut, but that I give to people is, don't settle for the first table they give you when you walk in. If they're shit nasty people, which a lot of restaurateurs are, they will put you in the worst table in the house, and just in case someone of their regulars comes in, or a famous, I've been saying this for so long that I used to say, in case Stephen Fry or Marianne Frostrup comes in, and they'll want to give
you've
the table,
they'll
change it to like Stormzy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But so anyway, here's the column. It's like, yes, you can, because you've got to go one step further, haven't you? It's like, yes, we'll all learn to cook. But how do you make it like being in a restaurant?
Yeah.
Really tiny portions, not very hot, but being poked about by the people.
Get one of your children to come in every 5 minutes going, is everything all right?
Everything all right.
Okay? Everything all right with you? Everything fine? How is everything? Everything all right?
Just when you're in the middle of a conversation, just when you're about to deliver the punchline, how's everything for you? Just when the kids is like in the middle the kids are sort of reading their beanos and happy eating their fish fingers, I have brought you the pea course.
Yes.
These peas were farmed.
And then point at things with your little finger.
Point at your little finger and say, the peas were, the bag was bought from an independent shop we know called Londis. The peas have been arranged. It's a jus of cold water from the bottom of the pan and the butter that melted in.
Yeah.
You've got to do that.
Then say, oh, darling, could you just get some water for the table? And you go, yes, and then never bring it.
Yeah, just completely forget to bring it.
Completely forget the water. What else they do that's annoying? Look, I'm sorry,
because I need this table back in 2 hours. 2 hours?
You can sit down. I'm going to need it back at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock? Who else is coming in?
Do you think, and when Sam goes, can I have some bacon? You go, there's no bacon on the dinner menu. Bacon's only on the breakfast menu, but you've got
breakfast
bacon.
Ends at 10:30.
Other things that make it like being in a restaurant. I'd have to get loads of tattoos.
Because you're
not allowed to cook in a restaurant unless you're covered in stupid fucking tattoos, which mean you can't get a job anywhere else.
All very good. I think that's rich pickings there, darling.
Everyone has to be eating with the fork in one hand and their phone in the other hand.
Yeah,
that's all anyone ever
just
does
for maximum virus spreading.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite a funny column.
Yeah, weird plates. Go and get a whole load of weird plates. Put them in funny angles. Great. Okay, I think that's really good. There's another thing that you were saying this morning that I thought was interesting, because you obviously always want to have nothing to do. Your ideal state is to have just handed in a massive piece of work and you've got nothing to do for a couple of days.
I have a strange combination of being lazy and a workaholic.
Yeah.
So I can't relax unless I've got all my work done.
Done, yes. But you don't want to not have any work to do, because that causes you anxiety.
Exactly. I'm also never the happiest sort of... seconds of my life is the bit when you're just crossing out something in your diary. I hate putting things in. I put in sort of dinner with Bill 7:30, and I look at it and I think, I can't wait to come up with an excuse and just cross it out.
Yeah.
And that's been happening a lot. And so, but anyway.
But this, and you've been cock-a-hoop. You know, you've been punching the air going, I'm just going to have my kids with me. I'm going to do loads of home cooking. Maybe we'll turn over the garden to a vegetable patch. You know, you've been really excited about this. All of this is your kind of ideal. This is your... But I can't remember what it was. Maybe yesterday. Yesterday, you sat down at the dinner table and said... But what if there's actually nothing to do?
Well, no. So look, I thought we will survive better than some. There are people out there, a lot of people I know, when you talk about what are you doing on holiday, and I say, well, we're just going to go and lie on the beach. Oh, I can't lie on a beach. I've got to be doing something. I've got to be active. I like to go hang gliding. I like to go and looking at temples. I have to go mountain biking. I'd go sailing. Those people are screwed.
Yeah.
Those people who cannot say, whereas you and I, the children have fucked that a little bit, but you and I, our ideal holiday, go somewhere hot, fly and flop, it's boom, it's book Anna Karenina, boom, you're away. You just read and drink, and don't get bored, just chat to each other and read books. all those people who have go to the kind of hotels where they have to be doing activities and they have to be going to the spa and they're going
to
be in trouble.
Well, they need to avoid. They want to avoid their interior life, don't they? Whereas our interior life is just like exterior all the time because we talk so much.
I think so. There's a degree. So in terms of a column, it's like how you can be more like me.
Be more like
columns to a degree are that.
Yeah, of course they are.
Everyone who isn't exactly the same as me is shit.
I thought you did a little wrinkle of worry did cross your brow.
Yes, no, that was this morning. You know,
that was this morning saying, but what if there's actually nothing to do? And I said, and I was about to say, well, that absolutely nothing to do is a vision of what it's like to like win the lottery or something, which is always my whenever I think about winning the lottery, wouldn't it be great to win the lottery? And then you think, yeah, but you get up and then you do what, you know? And you know, humans need challenges. That's why quite a lot of people are quite excited about the virus, because it's this new challenge, and human beings need to be challenged. You need to be challenged every day.
Except me.
By something.
No, that's the thing. In terms of arriving at a column, rather than saying what we think about the coronavirus, which is not our job, it's like, okay, fine, but you've gone too far into the truth and the important.
Fine, because I
want to say, how do you be more like me? Stop having hobbies. Stop being interested in things.
Yeah.
You know, leg jigglers, those kind of people. They're all fucked. They're people who, it's like, it's just like, rein in your expectations of what's going to happen. And it is just read a book.
I think you do also have to address that even you were a little bit worried. Looking at your diary this morning,
I mean, what do we have to do? We had the podcast, shrink, school run, and otherwise nothing. And that's great. But supposing you take out the school run, you take out the podcast, you take out the shrink, nothing. Funny for a day, funny for 2 days.
Yeah.
Even I get bored. I get bored on holiday after a couple of weeks of...
Well, that's why I'm continuing to send the children to school. Lots of people have elected to take their children out of school.
In Kitty's class of 20, normally has 21 in it, had 4 today. But there's going to be the...
Sorry.
Don't worry, it's just Esther. Regular listeners will know that...
I haven't got the virus.
You're lucky to get 4 seconds between a cough. How we'll know when Esther gets it? I don't know. She's got her regular September to June cough.
For listeners who can't see what I'm doing the meh, 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 blah, blah, blah hands.
I would quite like to point out that my mum's thing. I phoned my mum yesterday. My mum, who is 79.
Indefatigable.
Indefatigable. I suppose she is. I don't think that's the word you're looking for.
Is it not?
No. Indefatigable means you relentlessly carry on trying despite any kind of disappointment, I think. Indefatigable. Indefatigable. Now I'm really worried that I don't know what it means.
Indefatigable.
It's like indefatigable. It's relentless. It's
of you, a personal
your cough effort. Is indefatigable.
Persisting tirelessly.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Thank fuck, I got that right. Live on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I think you're
so far
right.
In my life, I've got to 50 without ever spelling a word wrong or ever getting a meaning wrong or ever pronouncing anything wrong. Never in my quale life
really,
have I ever...
Really, really, really tragic that that means so much to
it
you.
It does. Anyway.
So my mum,
who indefatigably smokes bags 50 a day and always has...
And will not drink water.
Smoked through, not both pregnancies, I think only the one with me. And talks proudly, I must have said this before, talks proudly about smoking while being pregnant with me and reading in the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, because she's a doctor. And reading that it said, the headline said, smoking while pregnant may cause a reduced baby size at birth. And so she smoked more because she fancied a smaller child to give birth to. And shamelessly, happily talks about that. But she's continued to, and I phoned her up and said, look, I'm not going to be coming to visit. And she went, yeah, that's going to make a fucking change. My Lizzie wouldn't notice if you didn't visit me for 12 months, 12, 12 weeks. But she is holed up with her partner, but she's going out and sort of seeing friends and stuff. And I said, and the point of the smoking, of course, does put you at risk. Also, she's had some of the big diseases. She gets pneumonia. She's had pneumonia 3 times. She gets bronchitis most winters.
Yeah.
From her smoking.
And never complains.
Never complains at all. Absolutely never complains about anything. I mean, she does have better access to drugs than most non-doctors.
Yeah, she does.
But she's
actually, your mum might be really, really handy in terms of...
Well, she can't really. She's not a doctor anymore.
Sure,
but she's got her old-headed paper, which she's not above occasionally blowing the dust off the old Dr. Corum paper. A billion paracetamol and...
morphine.
Some more of the Valium we all like so much.
Yes, exactly.
Stuff that she, I think,
being a consultant anaesthetist.
Which was mostly...
She might be drafted back into...
She might do, yeah. Well, it was more, the Valium was useful when we were growing up because it was a very hardworking doctor. She could just bung it to her kids, give us a 3-day dose, put us out with a bowl of water and go off to work.
But my mum
was saying, no, she was saying, no, I'll be fine. The smoking will protect me. And I then joke, because the smoke kills the virus. And she said, no, because unhealthy people won't come near me. It's protected me all my life. Mm. And I suddenly realised, fuck, my mother is right. My mother doesn't really get any of these things that are going around because my mum smokes. She doesn't chain smoke anymore. She's got it under control. Her partner doesn't smoke. It's harder to smoke in public places. So she smoked. She is down to like 20 or 30 a day.
That's still quite a lot of fags, isn't it?
So actually, we'll keep her. You know, no one wants to get within a meter of my mum anyway because, oh, the passive smoking or just your clothes smelling.
Yeah.
My mum will sail through it. My mum will be the last person left on the planet, unexpectedly. 79-year-old chain smoker, yeah. Dr. Anne Corran.
Yeah.
The only person left alive. Is that interesting?
I wonder if you can make a column out of it.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Times podcast produced by Lucy Ditchmont. If you want to find out what I wrote about in the end, there's a link to the column in the podcast description. Please like
and subscribe
wherever it is you get your podcasts to never miss an episode. And for the full live experience, you can tune into my radio show every Sunday night from 7 to 10 p.m. on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. Go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.